during the 3 years of his ministry, he goes to places, and if you follow it through the gospel, you can track his footsteps around Galilee and Judea, and eventually leading to Jerusalem, those final few days of his life. But he went to people. There's something that really strikes me about this passage that I'll get to in a wee while. He came to me. When he came here, it was a time of death. It was a time of death. Now, the name of the village means beauty. It means pleasantness. It's a pleasant place to be. But it wasn't that day. Not for one woman and the rest of the village. It was an awful day. He didn't arrive at a joyous moment. There were no crowds to greet him with hosannas or praise. He came to a scene of death. An awful scene. Perhaps one that was all too familiar during those years of hardship. There was no beauty in Nain that day. Death had invaded that village and laid its icy hand on this woman. We're told that the victim of death here was a young man, and he is the only son of his mother. Now, that's a tragedy for anyone, particularly in this time. We'll get to that as well regarding this woman, why it was such a tragedy for her. But Jesus and his party, they arrive at this village, and confronting them would be this procession, this funeral procession, as they made their way towards the cemetery with the widow at the head, and then those who were bearing the body of the young man who died. And following that, it seems that the rest of the village was there as well. They just stopped whatever they were doing to attend this procession of death towards this cemetery. Death had laid its hand upon this young man, and there would have been people there from all walks of life, and at the back maybe professional mourners who perhaps someone would have paid to make a real fuss regarding the death of this young man, and weeping and wailing, and it all would have added up to this tremendous feeling of helplessness and loss for this woman. And here was this young man, a man whose life no doubt was full of potential, had so much to look forward to, so much to do in his life, but his life was taken away. Now he is dead. Those eyes that had once gleamed with the light of life, a purpose, an ambition maybe, to have a family, to have children, to provide for his mother, it was all gone. Death had come. And death has been part of the human experience ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And yet it always comes to us as something strange, something unnatural. But ever since Adam chose to go his own way rather than the way of the Lord, death has been with us. In Adam, we all died. And I believe that here we have something pictured that is greater than the death itself. This scene was not unusual or out of the ordinary. What happened was, the Lord Jesus Christ came along and he brought life where there was death. Now, there are not many instances in the Gospels where the Lord did this. We read of many instances where he brought healing in the place of sickness and ill health. He brought restoration in the place of demon possession. But very rarely did he bring life from death. Now, why was that? I believe there's a reason. Because, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know who he is, what he was capable of doing. You know, he could have gone around to all the villages of Galilee, all the villages of Judea, and every funeral procession he would have come across, he could have raised them from the dead. But we don't find that recorded. He has the power to do that. But here, he demonstrates that he is greater than death. And the death here symbolizes something that is greater than itself. Because here, what we have is a picture of sin and its effects. Sin and its effects. Something that's greater than death. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to anybody. It's tragic. And we mourn, especially when it afflicts those who are before their time, as it were. But death has always stalked and claimed life after life on the surface of this planet. But here it symbolizes something greater than death. And what's worse than death is someone dying in their sins. Dying and they're lost. Lost for eternity. So here is something more than physical death of the mother's only son. We have a symbol of spiritual death. All the way back from Adam. Adam was told by God that if he took of that fruit and ate it in disobedience, he would die. He didn't die, did he? He carried on living for several hundred years, perhaps. But he didn't die physically. What happened was that spiritual death came into the world, and spiritually, he died the day he ate that fruit. And the only way thereafter that he could have communion with God was by the sacrifice of a blood offering to make atonement for his sin. So there's something far worse than physical sin, physical death, and that's sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. And that's the calamity that people find themselves in. What a position to be in. They think death is the worst thing that can happen to them. But the worst thing is dying in their sins. And when you think about this young man and his body lying there at that time, he was there physically, but he was totally unresponsive to everything that was happening around him. Unresponsive to his mother's grief because he was dead. Unresponsive to the clamour around him, the noise of the people, because he was dead. And that's just what it's like for the person who is dead in sin in relation to God. We are unable to respond to God. Barely even able to think about him, because we are spiritually dead. That's the position that men and women are in this life. So here we have a picture of the lost man or woman in a helpless condition, dead in trespasses and sins. He cannot see, hear, or feel God and respond to him without the one who came to him. They're unaffected by the good gifts and the great blessings that God brings. It was here a time of death. And it was a time of death for me when the Lord Jesus Christ came to my life, into my life. I didn't know that I was dead. I didn't know that my sins would have that effect upon me. I did barely recognize that I'd sinned at all. Sometimes my conscience would prick at some of the things I said or did, the way I treated people. It was a time of death in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ came to me. So first of all, when the Lord Jesus came to that scene, to that town of Nain, it was a time of death. But it was also a time of desperation. A time of desperation. If we look aside from the body of the boy, on that procession, we look and turn and we see his mother. The dead man was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Here's a woman who'd already felt the icy hand of death upon her life when her husband, her supporter, was taken from her. His life was taken somehow, some way. And so the only thing remaining to her were memories of her marriage and the son that she had. No doubt her pride and joy, and the one who would sustain her through her widowhood, through her old age. But he'd been taken from her as well by death. But there's more here than just the death of a beloved son. This poor woman has no one left to care for her. In her old age, she is helpless. She is a widow. There is no welfare state in those days. There was no provision made for those who were in this situation. During the time of the funeral itself, the whole village had clamoured around and joined the procession, were joining in the mourning, but the day would come when she would be all alone, by herself, struggling to exist and live her life out. She was in a helpless condition. She had nowhere to go once that young man had been taken from her as a widow, and now no son to support her. And just as this dead son is a picture of sin and what it does to human beings, that it separates them from God and makes them dead towards the things of God, a picture of a lost individual, so also this woman is a picture of the helpless condition of the one who is a sinner and still in their sins. This woman would not be able to help herself. The system that was in place at that time would take her down into greater depths and depths of helplessness and poverty. And who knows, maybe in a short time she too would be part of a funeral procession again. One that took her to the cemetery, just as her son was being taken there. She was helpless. And this is a picture of us in our sins. We're helpless. We cannot do anything to get rid of them ourselves. Aren't you just so grateful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done because we are so helpless? If I shed all of my blood, and it's blood that wipes away sin. It's blood that brings cleansing. But if I was to shed all of my blood, would that atone for my sin? It wouldn't. It wouldn't touch it. Only the blood of the Son of God could do that. But not just for me, but for all of us. Such is the greatness of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he came, it was a time of death, and it was a time of desperation. And when he came to my life, and perhaps your life too, it was a time of death. You were dead in your sin. It was a time of desperation. You were helpless to help yourself out of that situation. When Jesus came to that woman, it was such a tragic scene. But it was also a scene of deliverance. When he came, it was a time of deliverance. This story here does not end with a dead son. It does not end with a widow bereft of all support. As this little band of mourners was making their way out to go to that cemetery, they met another group of people, and the Lord Jesus Christ was at their head. And they were making their way into the town. The first group was weeping over the death of the son. The second group was rejoicing over what the Lord Jesus Christ had done that previous day in bringing life, bringing health to this centurion's servant and his healing. The first group was led by a weeping mother, a sobbing mother. The second group was led by the Sovereign Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two groups met at the gates of this city of Nain. A time of death and desperation became a time of deliverance. There were several meetings that took place that day, at that time. There were the two groups that met. One group was on the way to a cemetery. The other group was on the way to a city. And that describes to us the whole picture of humanity. It's divided into two groups. There is one group of people who are heading on that broad way to destruction, to the grave, to death. And there is another group who are heading upon that narrow way that leads to the eternal city of glory and wonder and life. So two groups met. And then two sons met. The first was the son of a man, and he was dead. The second was the Son of God, and in him was life, to give to all. He was the author of life, the Prince of life. Two groups met, two sons met, two sufferers met. The first sufferer was a broken-hearted widow, with no hope and helplessness. The second sufferer was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who came into this world to suffer rejection and crucifixion at the cross. And two enemies met as well. The first enemy was death. He had invaded and he devastated this family, brought utter despair to them. The other enemy, the enemy of death, was life. Life came that day to that city and restored this boy. When Jesus arrived at Nain that day, he arrived during a time of desperation and of death, and he overcame both of those by his power, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sovereign Lord approached this woman and spoke to her, and he said, "Stop weeping. Don't weep." If I was to do that at the head of a funeral procession like that and told the grieving mother to stop weeping, that would be a very presumptuous thing to do, because there is little that I have of myself to offer someone in that position. I often feel that I am often within myself helpless to help anyone who is grieving in that way. But the Lord Jesus Christ is so different. He has so much to offer. And he saw this woman and he had compassion upon her. He saw more than just what the scene that was before him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ sees into people's lives. He sees into people's hearts. And he saw the true position of this woman. And he had compassion upon her. He understood her circumstances. He understood what kind of future. That rings a certain bell, doesn't it? When you consider the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, before his ministry. His mother also, it appears, became a widow. And it was down to him to provide support for his mother, who was bereft of Joseph. But here is a woman who is totally bereft. And he came to this place from Capernaum. He arrived at Nain and he brought life. He came to her in her need. That was his purpose in going to that place. Not just so that he could meet this woman's need, but also to demonstrate his power over sin and death. And yet, when you read this, you get the impression that the only reason he went there was for this woman. It was all of grace towards this woman and her situation. And this Sovereign Lord comforted this woman, and then he spoke to the dead man, this boy who was being born by these people. After calming his mother, he just speaks. We don't know what words he said. We're not told what the boy said when he sat up. But he sat up. He was alive. The Lord Jesus just speaks to him and life comes back into him. And he sits up. Now that's not something that we see apart from in movies, is it? But this boy sat up and he spoke. We don't know. Wouldn't you just love to know the words that he spoke? But the most important thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words of life. It doesn't matter what that boy said. It doesn't matter what I said when I became a Christian. What mattered was that his life came into me. And this life came into this boy and he arose. He sat up and he spoke. The sovereign Lord moved in this helpless and hopeless situation and changed it all for the glory of God. The Prince of Life was there and he met this cruel enemy of death and brought about life. And this is a picture of what is going to happen in a far, what has happened in a far greater way. This is one of the few instances where we see the Lord Jesus Christ raise someone from the dead. And yet we will see in the future that thousands, millions of people will have spiritual life given to them through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on that cross. He brought life here just to one boy and restored a family to a situation that was tenable and one that was going to make this woman so happy and joyful. But you know, just as Lazarus was raised and this boy was raised, they would die again. Death would come again. The Lord Jesus brought life, but the day came when he was crucified that he conquered death thoroughly. Not just the physical death that we suffer when we die, but spiritual death. He conquered death thoroughly. This enemy of humanity, this enemy of the Prince of Life, was conquered by his own death on the cross and by his own resurrection through the power of God. And this is a clear picture of what Jesus does for those who are trapped in their own sin, in the grip of sin. He comes to us, often we're not even looking for him. This woman wasn't looking for him. She was facing a helpless future. But he comes and he brings us out of death into life. That's what he's done for me. That's what we mean when we say that we're saved. We're saved from death. Probably, unless the Lord comes, this body will die. Praise God, he might come soon. We don't know. We hope so. We believe he will come. But this body will die. But that's not the end for me. Because my real death was the death by sin. And that power of death has been broken by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's been broken. And although this body may die, may disappear into dust, it will be raised again by his word and by his power, and it will be made anew, fit for heaven, fit for that realm, that eternal city that the Christian has to look forward to, fit for his presence. This body at this moment is not fit for the presence of God for an eternity. But it will be, because it will be made like his body. We will be made anew, like him. And we will behold him face to face. What a glorious prospect the believer has. Not one of death, but of life and eternal life. He brings us out of death into life. He delivers us out of our hopeless condition. That place that we're in, that we cannot help ourselves, we cannot save ourselves, we cannot deal with our sin. He has dealt with it, and He delivers us. He delivers us from death. He delivers us from desperation and brings us into the glory and the liberty of His own life. A life that is lived for Him, a life that will bring glory to Him, and one day we will be with Him. He came that day to Nain in grace and turned death and desperation into life and glory. What a Saviour the Lord Jesus Christ is. What love He has demonstrated towards us, and grace. Let's pray.